series. I've probably got probably one, or actually probably the way I do it, probably two more weeks to finish off the I'm Glad You Asked series. What we did was early this summer, asked you guys to submit questions. So we had many questions come up through, and so I've been going through and answering these questions, and you guys have asked some very good questions. So I commend you on that. And so this one I was actually probably out of all of them probably, and I'll say leery to answer, but this is when I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to make people probably happy as I talk about these things, but I want to approach this from a biblical point of view. And the question came is how do we discern God's voice, and how do you know this from your own thoughts? And this is really a hot topic, probably within the last 5-6 years, have really taken off. Actually, if you look, I was going to say, if you went to a Christian bookstore, I don't even know they make those anymore. When was the last time someone was at a Christian bookstore? I know Lamb's closed several years ago in Bangor. There used to be a small one out in Fairfield. I don't even think those exist. You know, so that once Amazon came onto the scene, or Christian book distributors, right? You know, these things have kind of taken over, so you buy everything online, which is hard because I'm tangible. I like to grab the book, you know, and look at something before you buy it. You know, so especially books, I want to flip through it and read the back page and kind of do all that. And so now it's like this leap of faith of buying all this stuff. But right now there are so many books on there of hearing God's voice and how to hear God's voice and how to discern God's voice and all these things out here. And it's really big, and there are some more charismatic wings of Christianity that are really thriving on this. In order to have a relationship with God, that you're always hearing God's voice. And I don't know if you know anyone. I personally know some folks that really are using this verbiage all the time. God's always telling them things. And it's interesting because, you know, in my life, I have never heard the audible voice of God. Now you can say, well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to be spiritual. And I find it interesting, that's sort of that connection that oftentimes people make with these things. Right? And I think sometimes people who use that language, or I'll listen to a lot of different on YouTube, a lot of different pastors, and they'll use that verbiage. Well, God told me this. Well, that kind of makes it so you can't argue with them, right? You can't disagree with them. Why? Because God told them, right? So in here, speaking that terminology gives someone an authority, which I think can be misconstrued at sometimes, right? And I don't know if you've ever had anyone come to you with a word from God, you know, God told me this. And you're like, oh. For example, my first church was in Greenbush, Maine. I don't know if you guys know where, anyone knows where Greenbush is, all right? You blink, you go by it. And so I was pastoring a small little church in Greenbush, Maine. And Howland, which is the next town over from us, had a little bit of a bigger church. And one day, the pastor from that church came knocking on my door and told me, God told me for you to close your doors and send your people to my church. I was surprised. And so he just stood there. God told me this. And I don't know what response was he was waiting for. And I just kind of looked at him and I said, well, God has my number and he can let me know. And I don't think that was the answer he wanted. He kind of turned around and walked away. I got together with a few other pastors. Apparently, all the churches in the area he went to, because God told them all to close their doors and send their people to his church. And I was like, that's a interesting thing. You know, I've had people come and I've shared, you know, with us, my wife's first pregnancy and it came up. A lady came up and said, there's problems in the pregnancy, and she said, God told me that you would hear your child's voice. And if you've ever been in a situation like that, you know, we were just desperate for anything. And so we're like, Well, maybe God told her that we were going to, you know, our child was going to make it, and our child didn't. And I went to the pastor, and I was like, do you know this lady's going around declaring God's telling her things? And obviously, that was not true. And he goes, yeah, you know, she does that. And I'm like, that's a dangerous thing. It is. Actually, in the Old Testament, if someone said they spoke for God and it didn't come true, they were told to stone them. Now, I'm not saying that's what should have happened to her, but it's interesting that somehow in this new age that we're in, that we've dropped the standard, we've dropped the importance of using those terms, God told me. And so I think there's going to be some checks and balance. I find it interesting that on one scope of things, you know, I grew up Baptist, and, you know, my Baptist friends would probably disagree with me because you know, I believe God works, God still heals, God still moves. I believe in all those things. I have a good friend of mine who is a Baptist minister, and we were talking about these things, and he called me a charismatic. Now, I've been called many things in my life. Charismatic is usually not on that scale of what I've been called. And it took me aback, and I'm like, what do you mean I'm charismatic? He goes, well, you still believe that God, the Spirit of God works in people's lives in an active way. And I'm like, yeah, I do. He goes, that makes you a charismatic. So I guess I'm a charismatic. Now, my charismatic friends would disagree with me, right? Because at one end of the spectrum, you have those that believe that God doesn't do anything supernatural anymore. And I disagree with that. Then on the other spectrum of things, like I said, my charismatic friends would look at me, and, you know, because I don't think speaking for tongues is for today. I think some of the apostolic will look at this, and I think God gave the apostles certain gifts of healing in a very powerful way, that God doesn't quite work that way today. And so they would look at me and say, hey, well, you're handcuffing God. I definitely don't want to do that because God can do whatever God wants to do. Right? So I find that I'm self, you know, on this side of things, they're unhappy with me because I'm charismatic. And this side is unhappy with me because I'm not far enough. And so it's probably a good spot to be. So as we look at this, I want to take a look at what the Scripture says. And so in here, there's some common verses of those on my charismatic friends who would turn around and say, yeah, God is speaking to me all the time. Or we're supposed to seek this out. Right? That we're supposed to be audibly hearing God. One of the verses that they use is John chapter 10. And you hear this a lot. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall not never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And this is the verse they'll say, hey, my sheep, if you belong to God, you will hear his voice. And that's what the verse is they're trying to say. So today, that if you're truly a born-again Christian, then every day you should be hearing God's voice. The problem is context. If you pull back and take the verse, what it's talking about here in John chapter 10, back up just to verse 24, it says, and the Jews surrounded him, this is talking about Jesus, and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. So here the religious leaders are approaching Jesus and say, hey, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been waiting for? Now, keep in mind, Jesus has been healing, right? Jesus has been doing miracles. He's been preaching. He has been showing them, and he's been telling them who he is. And at this point in chapter 10, they still don't get it. And I think it's because they don't want to get it. Right? So they're like, hey, are you? Prove it. And Jesus is like, wait a minute, what do you think I've been doing? Right? And you guys know it, right? You've dealt with people who say, well, if God only proved himself. And it's like, well, God's done this, this, and this. And this. Yeah, but that doesn't count. Right? Because they really don't want to believe. Look at what Jesus says here. It says, Jesus answered them, I told you, right? Jesus, I told you this. Look at my life. Look at what I've been doing. I've been showing you who I am. So Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. See, there are those that saw what Jesus was doing, was listening to his sermons, and they believed in him. Right? So the question here is not just, are you hearing, but are you listening? Do you see that? And so Jesus is saying, my disciples believe me. Why? Because they're my sheep. And they're attentive to what I am saying. The religious leaders, you are not my sheep. Therefore, you're hearing, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. So you see the context here? The context isn't some secret little voice of God. The context is, as you look at his words, are you listening? Do you see that? So this isn't some mysterious God voice in your head that some people are told to seek out. This is here, as we get into God's word, does it have an impact on us? Right? As we're reading these verses, are we listening and hearing what God is speaking? Or are they just words? Do you see the difference? And if you are a Christian, you are his sheep. When you hear God's words, what? It will have an effect on you. So that's the context of it. It's not some mysterious voice. The second one they use all the time is talking about Elijah. And Elijah has that mountaintop experience with God on Mount Carmel. And he calls down fire from heaven. It's a great thing. And then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah tucks tails and runs. And he runs down to this cave. In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, it says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and as a great winds tore through into the mountains and broke the rocks and places before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after this, a still small voice. And you'll hear people use this verse, that still small voice. Is that small God voice in you that you need to learn to listen to? The problem is, this voice wasn't internal. This voice was what? External. Do you see that? That in here, there was a wind. There was a fire. There was an earthquake. All these things were external. And then outside the cave came this still small voice. So it wasn't this mysterious internal voice, but it was this external voice. So this doesn't kind of build that case that we're all supposed to hear God's mysterious voice within our heads. Last one we'll look at. Like I said, there's many other verses they have, but I find it interesting that a lot of times you take the context of these verses and they twist it. And it's saying that you and I, even if we're believers, if you are not hearing this voice of God, you are missing out. The last one is Acts chapter 2. This is at Pentecost. And here the disciples are gathered together in chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit falls on them and they speak in tongues. And that's a whole different topic. And we've talked about it a little bit. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But here they were speaking in tongues. People heard them all speaking all these different languages. And they came rushing in and saying, hey, these guys are drunk. Peter's like, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. This is the Spirit of God upon them. But look what he says here in verse 16 in chapter 2. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, as it came to pass in the last days, saying, God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall have visions. Your old men shall have dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above. And they stop right there, and they're saying, see, that in this time that we're in, that God is giving dreams and visions and words, and we're supposed to have all this supernatural experience all the time, right? And that's the Spirit of God came upon him. I find it interesting they stop at this verse, because take a look at the very next verse, and it's a continuation of the same thought, right? It says, and signs in the earth beneath, what? Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a reason why they stop, because the next verses here are talking about signs of heavens, the sun, moon, and stars. This is talking about before the Lord's return here on earth As you read out the book of Revelation, these are all signs of the Lord's coming. And what Peter is doing here, he's talking about, look, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and now they're experiencing this. But this is a foretaste of what's going to happen later on. Right? So there will be a time, I believe, that during the tribulation period, where God will work in this supernatural way. And you could, if you ever read the book of Revelation, there's a whole lot of supernatural things going on in the book of Revelation. And these signs and wonders will take place, I believe, at the time of Revelation. It's not for today and not for now. So I find it interesting, once again, kind of looking at the context, isn't that we're supposed to be seeking out these visions and asking the Lord for these dreams and asking the Lord for these small voices in our head. I don't think that's how God is communicating with us today. Now, God can do what God wants, right? If God wants to speak to someone in a dream, he can, right? But I don't think that is the norm for today. And what they try to do is take, like for Peter and Paul, these apostles, and try to use their experience to expound on all of us. And the apostles were unique because God used them for the word of God, right? And we see this in scriptures, that Paul had the authority to dictate scripture for us today. And he used signs and wonders to affirm what he said was true. And Paul tells this to the Corinthians. It says, truly the signs of the apostles were accomplished among you with all perseverance and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. How do I know what Paul wrote to the Corinthians was the word of God? Because God used signs and wonders to verify that this was true. Does that make sense? So because of this, God gave the apostles, notice it says, the signs of an apostle. The apostles were this miraculous thing. Not all of us are given that apostleship today. So we got to be careful, because once we're told to listen to our voice, and actually the question came in, says, how do I discern God's voice? From my own thoughts. Right? I think, because it is. Sometimes it's, is God telling me this, or is this me? Right? Ever felt that way? And so in here, I want to point out, because there are lots of voices today that are sort of internal. One of them is our own thoughts. Jeremiah, there are false prophets speaking. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless, right? What they're saying isn't true. They speak of visions of what? Their own hearts. Now, I think sometimes my own desires get in the way. And I'll say, this is God speaking to me. Give me what I want. I had a couple come to my church once and came knocking on the door, a young couple. They said, will you marry us? I'm like, oh, well. I said, you know, got a little of their background, come to find out they were going to a church down the road. I said, well, how come your pastor doesn't marry you? And the lady was like, because he, the pastor, says that she was supposed to marry his son. That God told him that she was supposed to marry his son. And she's like, God didn't tell me that. I'm in love with this guy. So he won't marry me unless I marry his son. I think the son, I think there's a lot of self-ambition in this. This is their desires of what they want. Right? I would be like, you know, Lord, speak to me. You know, I've been working on my truck. I need a new truck. And I went to my wife and said, you know what? Lord told me that I need a brand new F-150. God told me that. And she can't argue with God. No, but she'll argue with me. And she's like, no, I don't think God said that. I can get 150? No. Right? But we do this, right? My own desires. Is this what I want? And we see this. People will use this in the name of God to justify what they want. Colossians, he says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding into things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Right? Our fleshly mind will justify things in the name of God if we're not careful. So that's a danger of saying, okay, you know what? I heard this still small voice in me. It must be of God. No, it may be you. Second thing is there are other spirits out there. Right? There is a demonic realm. And there are demonic voices out there. John tells us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but what? Test the spirits, whether they are of God." There is wickedness in this world. We see throughout Scripture that Satan tempts. And so in here, if I'm not careful, if I'm not discerning, I can listen to the wrong voice. Notice Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking. Jesus had been talking about he's going to the cross. He's going to die. And Peter says, "No, Lord, no, 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 no." This is Jesus' reply. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Where'd Peter get this idea of trying to tell Jesus not to go to the cross? It was a satanic influence. We see that going on in the world today. Voices we hear, right? We have our own thoughts. We have demonic influences in this. We have the world. Right? We bombard ourselves with the world's messaging. And we kind of go along with it. After a while, it kind of weighs on us and we start thinking like the world. Right? We compromise. That's not of God. That in here, to get along, to make friends, to not cause waves, not to cause conflict. Oftentimes we'll listen to that voice inside and it's not a godly voice. The last one, voices that we hear, we do have the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He does work in us. He says, "Wherever then he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." That the Holy Spirit will speak of Jesus. That in here, the Holy Spirit will guide me. The thinking about Jesus. He'll guide me in his words and illuminate Jesus in that. And he'll draw me closer in relationship with him. He is called our helper in John 14. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all the things I said to you. And I believe I've gone through, and I'm sure you've done this too. Have you ever read a passage of Scripture? And maybe you've read it many, many times in your life, and all of a sudden something new pops out at you. And I'm like, how did I miss it all this time? Right? The Holy Spirit is our teacher. I always think it's interesting that, you know, after church I'll stand in the back door and thank people for coming. And I've had people come to me and say, "You know, that was a great sermon on this subject." And I'm like, that's not what I preached on. Right? One verse or something I touched on touches a person's life and they're like, "This, I heard what I needed to hear." Right? People come up and say, "Oh, Pastor, that was a great sermon." You know that's not me, you know? That's just the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit does work to bring to remembrance, right? Have you ever been in a communication talking to someone, answering maybe their questions, and all of a sudden a verse comes up? And like, "Oh, wow, where'd that come from?" Right? The Holy Spirit works in us. Not necessarily through an audible voice, but a prodding of our hearts and prodding of our spirit to work in us as he sees fit. But it's not this audible voice. And I've talked to a lot of Christians who almost feel like they're second class because they're afraid to say, "I've never heard a voice. I've never seen Jesus. I've never had this experience. So am I less? Or am I not saved?" Now I'm here to tell you that's not true. Right? Because in here, how do we be led by God? Right? How does God speak to us? And once again, I got to make clear, I don't think that God can't do those things. God can do what he wants. But I don't think it is the norm of communication God uses for us today. And be careful, because there's a lot of people who are seeking these things, seeking signs, seeking wonders to build their faith. And that's a dangerous road to go down, because we're not to build our faith on experience. We are to build our faith upon the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Learn the Word. So in here, the first part of being led by God, right, is to be in the Word. There's a term called the sufficiency of Scripture. Is the Scripture enough? And I believe it is. Peter tells us, and so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as the light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of a private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I love that first line. It says, so we have a prophetic word confirmed. I love the King James in this. It says, then we have a more sure word. What Peter is talking about here is actually the verse prior to this, that up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Jesus transform. And they heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of God. And what Peter says is, now we have the Scriptures. We have the Word of God. And this is a more sure word than the very voice of God. We have God's words. We have what He wants for us to know. And how do we know this? Because God spoke through men of old to give us the words that He wants us to have. You know, if you want to read what God says, this is it. I heard a pastor say, if you want to hear God speak audibly, read the Bible out loud. But God has given us, and I think some of what's going on today is that people, because living by faith is hard. It is. And so people are looking for tangibility to their faith. And so what happens is they pursue things, and they pursue signs, and they pursue experience to confirm the faith. And I kind of cringe, because there's some circles in Christianity who are seeking so much the experience that really they're saying, I don't need the Word of God anymore. I rely on my experience. I'll just trust this little voice in my head. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says. And that's just wrong. Peter also says, just prior to this, says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Word of God gives us all things that we need pertaining to life and how to live that life. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then in here, we study the Word of God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction of righteousness. The Bible contains all that I need to hear from Him. He says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has given us His Word. And I think we... sometimes we don't like what it says, so He wants a voice somewhere else. Sometimes it's hard because it takes digging and studying. And sometimes we want the easy way out. How to be led by God? Read the Word. Second thing, prayer. Prayer should be a part of our lives. That as God's Word speaks to us, that in here we speak to Him. If anyone of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives all men liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right? A lot of times what happens is, you know, I have a decision coming up, and I don't know what to do. The first thing I'd say, get into the Word. Read. Second thing is pray about it. Ask God, what should I do? Ask for wisdom, and God will give it. Third, seek out godly advice. Seek out, right? It says, where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Seek out Christians who love the Lord and what they think about it. Right? Don't go to the world. But in here, find people who have experienced. Right? I think oftentimes what happens is we seek out advice among our own social group, people who are in the same situation we are. And I think we're better served by seeking out people who've been through things already. Right? If you're in the middle of raising your kids, seek someone who's raised the kids and how they did it. Right? If you're having problems in your marriage, seek out someone who's been on the other side and gone through years of marriage. And seek out people who have your best interests in heart. I heard an illustration. I thought this was a great way to do it. Because we look at this, and sometimes we look at people who've been there, right, beforehand. And I said, you know, imagine, if you will, I'll use President Trump, was seeking out advice. And who's been in the race before? And he goes to Hillary Clinton. And here's someone who has experience, right? She's run, she's done all that. But that wouldn't be a good counsel. Why? Because she probably doesn't have his best interest in heart. In our lives, seek out people. And I cringe because, you know, Facebook, social media, it's really awful. Because people be on there and say, you know what, I'm thinking about leaving my wife. And people are like, oh yeah, you leave her, she's a bum, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, where's the godly advice saying work it out? You can do it. Our career changes and wisdom, discernment, all these things come in through that in here. Seek out what the Bible says first. Pray about it, expecting God to lead you. Seeking godly advice from godly people who want what's best for you. And the last one is trust the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord does give us the Holy Spirit when we get saved. He comes and dwells in us. We're told that He leads us and He guides us. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understandings. In all your way acknowledge Him, and what will He do? He'll direct your paths. Do you believe that? Do you think God is wise enough and powerful enough to guide your steps? I do. If you are seeking Him, right? If you are praying, if you search out the Scriptures, you sought out advice, and you got to make a decision, trust the Lord that He will show you the right thing to do at the right time. And make that decision. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. You know, the illustration I can't help but think about is, remember on the school bus? Remember, you guys used to ride the school bus, remember back in the day? And you're like, okay, what seat do I sit on? And sometimes the small details of our lives, it's kind of like, which seat do I sit on? We really should be asking, am I on the right bus? Because if you're on the right bus, does it really matter what seat you sit in? No, because you'll get to where you're supposed to go. And sometimes the decisions we have in our lives, the bigger question is, Lord, am I doing what You want me to do? Am I serving You? Am I in relationship with You? Is all my ducks kind of in a row with You? And now, Lord, I'm on the right bus. I'm heading in the right direction. I'm doing all the things You want me to do. And Lord, I'm going to trust in You to show me the small details along the way. Does that make sense? God will lead and guide, and He can be trusted. Then in here, the Lord uses our consciences. It says, I tell you the truth, I am not lying, my conscience also bears witness in the Holy Spirit. Right? There are things that just internally, it just doesn't feel right for you. Some say that's the voice of God, some say it's the impression of God. Right? God prods your heart. But we're warned not to go against our conscience. And God can use that in our lives. He did that with the Apostle Paul. Also, the Lord will guide and direct. He'll open and He'll close doors in our lives. 1 Corinthians says this, and I do not wish to see you now on the way. He's telling the Corinthians he's passing through. But I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. And in our lives, I believe God opens and closes doors. Right? There's been things that I've wanted. I've prayed about. Right? And God said no. And He's closed the door. There's been job opportunities and things I've pursued. And God just said, this is not time. How do I know? Because God didn't allow it to happen. He closed the door. There's other things that I'm like, I really didn't want to do. But God opened the door and the opportunity came. Okay, Lord, you're leading, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your way you acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. So we look at this as we go through our lives of trusting with Him. God does speak. I believe He speaks through His Word. As I read it, it is alive, it is quick, it is powerful. It's written to me. And in here, as I pray, I pour my heart out to Him, and He moves me. He prods our hearts. He opens doors. He gives advice and things our way to guide us and direct us in our lives. So be careful of falling into that trap of those who are like, look, you're missing out if you haven't heard the audible voice of God. That you're not belonging to Him. Because there's a lot of voices out there. And unfortunately, I know a lot of people who said they've spoken the words of God that were just wrong. And that's a dangerous road to go down. But can God speak? God can. Can God do supernatural things? Yes. Why? Because He's God. I'm not going to limit what He can and cannot do, but I want to be true to His Word. That the norm of God's working in His people's lives is through guiding and directing us. Of the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance. Of stirring within us a conscience of what He wants us to do. So as you leave here, I don't want you to feel like you've missed out because you haven't heard this, haven't had this great experience. Test the spirits to see whether it be of God or not. But how do we know God's word, God's voice? First of all, always start with God's word. What does the Bible say? Seek those things out. And then put God first in your life and all these things will be added unto you. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Truly, Lord, Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. You will guide us and You will direct us. Lord, we thank You for the gift of the Spirit and the work it has in our lives to bring to remembrance the things of You, to illuminate You in all that we do. Lord, we think that You are still a miracle-working God. Lord, You heal, You restore. We praise You for that. But Lord, I pray You help us in the everyday. We keep our eyes upon You, Lord. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. When we stand and sing, we're going to sing, In His Time, the Lord makes all things.